Parker and Lee Barker. Whoa. Interesting cast of characters.
Thank you. Well, good morning. You're still here. What a joy it is to see you. Welcome to Unity Church. I feel like you should be. Anyway, thank you. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are here for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which helps you live a loving life of integrity and service and joy. I'd like to call your attention to This Week at Unity, which serves as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement in the church. Following the service this morning, we hope you'll join us in the parish hall for an informal reception to honor and acknowledge Justin Schroeder and Teresa Schwartz as they complete their work as our sabbatical ministers. If you're interested in becoming a member of Unity Church, please visit the welcome table, which is in the parish hall. Our preacher next week will be the incomparable Duncan Baird, a lifelong member of Unity Church, whose topic will be the modern relevance of the life and work of Walt Whitman, the one whom Allen Ginsberg called the courage teacher. Jan and I would like to greet you following the service at the Portland Avenue doors, and once again, welcome to Unity Church.
Jars of spring water are not enough anymore. Take us down to the river. The face of peace, the sun itself, and not the slippery, cloud-like moon. Give us one clear morning after another, and the work, and the one whose work is never finished, who is our work as we diminish, idle, though occupied, empty, and open. Come, let us worship together.
Thank you.
remain standing and join with us in reading responsively number 530 in the back of your room.
Out of the stars in their flight, out of the dust of eternity, here have we come, stardust and sunlight mingling through time and through space.
Out of the stars have we come, up from time, out of the stars have we come.
Time out of time, before time, in the vastness of space, Earth spun to orbit the sun, Earth with the thunder of mountains, newborn, the boiling of seas.
Earth warmed by sun, lit by sunlight, this is our home, out of the stars have we come.
Mystery hidden in mystery, back through all time, mystery rising from rocks in the storm and the sea.
Out of the stars, rising from rocks in the sea, kindled by sunlight on earth, arose life.
Ponder this thing in your heart, ponder with awe. Out of the sea to the land, out of the shallows came ferns.
Out of the sea to the land, up from darkness to light, rising to walk and to fly, out of the sea trembled life.
Ponder this thing in your heart, life up from the sea, eyes to behold, throats to sing, mates to love.
This is the wonder of time. This is the marvel of space. Out of the stars swung the earth. Life upon earth rose to love.
This is the marvel of life, rising to see and to know. Out of your heart, cry wonder, sing that we live. Please be seated. Each time we gather for worship, whether here in the sanctuary or upstairs in the chapel with the children, we take a moment to invite into the circle of compassion some of those whose joy or struggles has come to our attention. We do this by speaking their names. I will begin, and then I'll invite you to speak the names of those you've brought here in your hearts. We especially acknowledge and embrace our fathers, whether we are still struggling with them, living or dead, or whether we are able now to let them be human in their fullness, to celebrate them, to greet them in gratitude. I invite you, when the time comes, to speak your father's name, should you choose to do so. We mourn the death and celebrate the life of Everett Eichten, Pauline Eichten's father, who died last night, 1 month shy of his 90th birthday. Funeral arrangements are pending. We mourn the death and celebrate the life of longtime Unity Church member Lois Lindahl, who died unexpectedly in her sleep on June 6th. Our hearts are with her husband, Bob, as he makes his way through the thicket of grief. Our hearts are with all those recovering from illness and hospitalization, all those who face their final days with gratitude and grace and courage. Jim Sen is at home at the Commons and in the care of hospice. Mimi Lane is in care of hospice at her home in Arizona. Mary Lou Fitzpatrick is dealing with significant medical issues and is not able to come to church just now. Vince Wegscheid has weathered the worst of a recent health crisis. His daughter Julia Wegscheid and her husband Bill Lipkin and their daughter Sarah are so grateful that he's doing well. We share the joy of Unity member Allison Trast, whose daughter Molly Dornack married John Lacey here in the sanctuary on Saturday the 9th. The room still rings with the sound of the voices of those who gathered to honor Karen Pike and to remember. We pray for those in prison, those who struggle with addiction, and everyone around the world living in the midst of habitual violence. May we work and live our lives so that peace and freedom may yet prevail. I invite you now to speak aloud or hold in the silent sanctuary of your hearts the names of those you've brought here with you. And let us pray. Holy One, source of radiance and reason, thou whose love endows and animates our lives, we acknowledge thy presence within and among and beyond us this day. When we would lose sight of that in our lives about which we care most, when we would lose track of those in our lives we love best, startle us with beauty. Sing to us in the songs of birds. Lift our eyes upward that we might remember the source of our strength. And stripping away all idle conceits, return to the values, return to the signposts by which we find our way to larger love. Strengthen us in our resolve to root out from our lives the many ways in which we fall short of our own highest aspirations. Help us and hone us and heal us for the work at hand, for the joy surrounding. Amen.
Quizá porque mi niñez sigue jugando en tu playa y escondido tras las cañas duerme mi primer amor. Llevo tu luz y tu olor por donde quiera que vaya y amontonado en tu arena tengo amor, juegos y penas. Yo que en la piel tengo el sabor amargo del llanto eterno que han vertido en ti 100 pueblos de Algeciras a Estambul para que pintes de azul sus largas noches de invierno a fuerza de desventuras. Tu alma es profunda y oscura, a tus atardeceres rojos se acostumbraron mis ojos como un recodo al camino. Soy cantor, soy embustero, me gusta el juego y el vino, tengo alma de marinero. ¿Qué le voy a hacer si yo nací en el Mediterráneo? Nací en el Mediterráneo. Te acercas y te vas después de besar mi aldea. Jugando con la marea, te vas pensando en volver. Eres como una mujer perfumadita de brea que se añora y se quiere, que se conoce y se teme. Ay, si un día para mi mal viene a buscarme la parca, empujad al mar mi barca con un levante otoñal y dejad que el temporal desguace sus alas blancas y a mí enterradme sin duelo entre la playa y el cielo en la ladera de un monte más alto que el horizonte. Quiero tener buena vista. Mi cuerpo será camino, le daré verde a los pinos y amarillo a la genista. Cerca del mar, porque yo nací en el Mediterráneo. Nací en el Mediterráneo. Nací en el Mediterráneo.
Thank you. That was lovely. I even understood some of the words. God, it's wonderful to see you. I really mean it. Everyone seems so surprised when I say that. But it is just wonderful to see you. We had a wonderful time, and we were really ready to come home. There are so many stories to tell, and of course you'll be hearing them for years, and so much that we want to share with you from our sabbatical. It was a richly rewarding time for which we are incredibly grateful to all of you. We carried you with us. Though we were able to set aside day-to-day ministerial obligations, you were always with us. Fortunately, though, you didn't weigh anything, or you would have been left in the Pyrenees. On a rainy May Day, we began our walk across northern Spain, joining others from all over the world along the ancient pilgrimage route of the Camino de Santiago, the Way of St. James. In the Middle Ages, there were three primary Christian pilgrimage routes. They led to Jerusalem, to Rome, and to Santiago. Devout Catholics believe that the bones of James, the second of the original disciples, are buried beneath the high altar of the great Baroque Cathedral of Santiago. Over the centuries, the Camino de Santiago has continued to be a pilgrim path, welcoming people from all over the world to its history, its art, its architectural heritage, and to its unique way of the spirit. We walked every day. We walked in the rain, in the sleet, in hail, in fog so thick you could barely see in front of you, in gusty winds so strong we thought it might blow us over, and warm, exquisite sunlight. And I must tell you that if you wonder why we are singing 19th century hymns, I want you to imagine a day where it poured all day long. Hours and hours of rain. And imagine that you had had confidence that it wouldn't rain in the plains of Spain. And you took a jacket that was 10 years old and had no Gore-Tex left. Well, yes, we sang folk songs, including From Boulder to Birmingham, which is the postlude in today's lovely service. But it wasn't until Rob started singing those 19th century hymns that we really got into the rhythm. So just know when we're singing with gusto, the hymn of affirmation, you'll know why, because it saved us. But we walked through small villages and big cities, and we walked through ancient forests and along super highways with semis blasting us with their own force. We walked alone, and we walked together. They estimate this year 200,000 people will walk some portion of the Camino. We walked with many people, some who became friends, stepping on stones worn smooth by thousands of others before us. We walked in humbleness, following the footsteps of the centuries. Now, one day, we needed to walk about 18 miles, about, 30 kilometers, and we got up at our usual early time and got on the trail by about 6:20, and we traveled through the village we were in and through more hill towns and vineyards and industrial sites. And on the path between a six-lane highway and a lumber yard, we came to a chain-link fence. And the chain-link fence was covered in twig and balsam crosses. Some were clearly hastily crafted, while others showed a fine, deliberate skill. And there were hundreds and hundreds of these crosses, some big, mostly small, and they covered the fence for, I was thinking in meters then, so 200 or 300 feet maybe. We met many inspiring, faithful Christians on the Camino, and we met many pilgrims like ourselves, pilgrims who seek to meet the holy everywhere. It's said that the Camino welcomes everyone. The cross is not our symbol. Our liberal faith recognizes the reality of human suffering, but it does not embrace redemptive suffering. So though we could appreciate the effort and the faith involved, we walked on without stopping. Now the Camino is well marked. There are ubiquitous yellow arrows that point the way throughout the path. Tiles made of scallop shells, which are the symbol of St. James. And in particularly mountainous terrain, or when there was a crossroad, there were cairns, small piles of stones which say, this way, this way. No, 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 don't think that's the right way, this way. Now, after passing the cross-covered fence, we climbed for an hour or so through hilly terrain covered in grapevines. And finally, we reached the top of the second tallest hill we climbed that day. And at the crest of the hill, we found hundreds and hundreds of cairns. Now, we had never seen anything like this forest of cairns. I was thrilled and suggested that we stop and have lunch right then and there. I think I actually said that we had to stop and have lunch right then and there. And filled with joy, I built my own cairn. Now, I've been a hiker all my life, and in my youth, a resistant hiker. But I've always valued cairns, and they've always spoken to me as markers pointed the way. But these cairns were revelatory to me, and they spoke to a larger truth. And for me, they offered a response to all those little crosses on the fence. These cairns spoke to me, and they said, you are on the path. You have a direction, and it is right for you. And you are not alone. There are other seekers who have taken the time to create these markers so that you will know that the path you walk, though not as well worn or as often traveled as the stations of the cross, it is still valid and true. And other pilgrims like you have stopped here to leave these signs of solidarity and direction.
Christianity. My ancestors on my father's side came into Spain with the Moors, flourished there for centuries, and then were driven out on threat of death by the same church which established and yet still governs the Camino de Santiago. So when Jan suggested that we walk that particular pilgrim path, I was not, shall we say, overjoyed. I even said something like, do you know what those people say they believe? I agreed with the notion of including a walking pilgrimage as a major part of our sabbatical. But I had thought Bodh Gaya or Banaras, or perhaps an old peace activist like me could walk the Ho Chi Minh Trail as a pilgrimage. Which I still hope to do and would be glad to do with some of you, should you choose to do that. Anything but having to encounter Christendom in what was, for centuries, its most aggressive form. There were, however, three determinant factors in our decision to walk the Camino. First, we have a number of dear friends who have made the journey, all of whom speak of it with enthusiasm and gratitude. Second, that there is a well-established network of places to stay all along the way, which significantly simplifies planning, lightens the load, and helps to ensure health. And thirdly, and certainly not least, Jan said she was going to go with or without me and started to make her plans. It's not that funny.
Yes, it is.
I was frightened, to tell you the truth. I was afraid of the physical challenge. I dreaded the hardships and discomfort attendant to any such journey. In spite of all the books we read and all the careful plans we made, I remained disgruntled and unsure right up until that May morning when we set off in the rain. But by then, it didn't matter how I felt. It didn't matter. There were no more choices to be made. We joined the church of one foot in front of the other. To complain on the Camino is not only annoying, it's also pointless and rarely done. That alone is reason enough to call it a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage is a journey on which you don't get to complain. It's an interesting definition. Looking back, the hardest times, the times when it took all we had to push on past the pain, reminded me of being with Jan when she was in labor. Only this time we were less sure which one of us was giving birth and who was doing the coaching. The walking strips away so much of the confusion. There is only one task. One goal, one thing to do, and that is to, in a very real sense, be born again in beauty. That's what it's about. Along the way, I did relearn some lessons I all too easily forget. Mostly they had to do with the centrality of tolerance. Not tolerance, not paternalism, not this kind of tolerance, but tolerance which has to do with an active curiosity about how other people live their lives and what they believe and a kind of tuning in, a kind of slow listening that affirms the people we think least like ourselves. So some days we spent time with devout Roman Catholics, people whose integrity and loving presence quickly overshadowed my discomfort with their church. I found that I could separate the people from my active opposition to those aspects of Roman Catholic theology which are shame-based and judgmental and, I feel, destructive. Over and over again, when we explained our theological perspective to other pilgrims on the path, they echoed that by now familiar refrain, "Oh, well, I believe that too. I just didn't know there was a church that thought that way." But even so, I still love the stories, they say. It's where I grew up. I love the stories. For believers, the Camino leads to an ornate Baroque cathedral where a golden reliquary holds the reputed remains of James, the son of Zebedee,
also known as the Son of Thunder. For Jan and for me, it soon became clear that the Camino led beyond that grand cathedral and the relics of the saint, beyond that particular story, to the place where everything is one and all of it is holy. For us, the pilgrim path led back to the sea, back to the very source of life.
Tocando fondo, nací un buen día. Tocando fondo, ando todavía menos hermoso que como fuera, menos odioso que de otra manera. Me declaro imperfecto, pateando la sombrilla. Prefiero ser abierto a pasearme anunciando que soy la maravilla, que soy la maravilla. Me publico completo, me detesto probable. Si uno no se desnuda, se transfigura en reto, todo lo desnudable, todo lo desnudable. Tocando fondo, como ir cantando, es algo hondo que no anda esperando, no toca duro. Nuestras verdades levanta muros, pudre capitales, quizás inoportuno o acaso delirante. Soy de tantas maneras como gente pretenda no más calificarme, no más calificarme. Asumirse los fueros es no dictaminarse. Me publico completo, me espero mejorable desde mi parlamento de guitarra sonante. Tocando fondo, nací un buen día. Tocando fondo, ando todavía, ando todavía.
I'd like to take this opportunity to invite Zach Stephen to come up and join us in the chancel.
Good morning. My name is Zach Stephen, and I'm chair of the Board of Trustees this year. And I just wanted to take a moment on behalf of the board and, with your permission, the congregation, to welcome home Rob and Jan, and just to say that you have been in our hearts, and you have been in our minds, and we're very glad to have you back in our midst, even if only briefly. We also have some stories to tell.
But
we'll look forward to that in the fall. I also wanted to take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the service of the entire staff over the sabbatical period, especially the executive team, Barbara Hubbard, Louise Wolfgram, and our sabbatical co-ministers, Justin and Teresa. Thank you very much.
So I just preached that whole sermon without... Well, now
so
it's
I'll do the talking, honey. It's no problem. Because I'm on.
If you have never had the experience, which Jan and I have all the time, of bearing what the rabbis call the burden of prayer for a congregation of people, that unique obligation to hold it all fearfully together and try to remember what's really important. If you've never had that experience, you can't really know how it was for us to say, here. Take it. Be with it. The tradition in this church is that when ministers take sabbaticals, you bring in someone with 30 or 40 years of experience who you don't know, but you know they can hold the pulpit down and you know nothing terrible is going to happen. We had a sense that you were strong enough as a congregation and that Justin and Teresa were strong enough as ministers that you could do some truly creative work together and continue to grow in depth and even in numbers while we were gone. We were right. You are. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And in closing, we want you to know that we have a gift for you, which is an Amazon book gift certificate.
Actually, you can buy anything you want.
Right. And it is in just a small token of how much we know your ministries have been appreciated by this congregation. And I also want to say that Rob and I do truly look forward to hearing from all of you the lessons that you learned while we were gone. And we are beginning to hear some of those, and we will, in the coming months, hear from Justin and Teresa and the leadership of the church. So if you have words of wisdom, we will be glad to hear from you starting in August. Thank you again very much.
So I guess you changed the rules about applause.
There are times when it's appropriate. Before we begin the offering, I just want to acknowledge, since I haven't been here, I don't know if this has been announced, it probably has. We have 26 people from Unity Church going to Portland, Oregon to our annual General Assembly this next week, and we are thrilled that so many of you are coming. And we know that in part, Teresa, you were responsible for inspiring so many people to take a more active interest. So particular thanks to you. Our offering today is for the Northwest Youth and Family Services, an agency which includes outpatient mental health clinic, day treatment for youth, youth diversion services, social work, youth employment services, and a summer camp. Will the ushers please come forward? We invite you to give as generously as you are able. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate our lives and our many offerings. Thank you.
I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not, when I came to die, to discover that I had not lived. I did not wish to live what was not life. Living is so dear. Nor did I wish to practice resignation unless it was quite necessary. I wanted to live deep and suck out all the marrow of life, to live so sturdily and Spartan-like as to put to rout all that was not life, to cut a broad swath and shave close, to drive life into a corner and reduce it to its lowest terms. And if it proved to be mean, why then to get the whole and genuine meanness of it, and publish its meanness to the world. Or, if it were sublime, to know it by experience and to be able to give a true account of it in my next excursion.
Lynn Schmidt says that she saw you once as prairie grass, Nebraska prairie grass. She climbed out of her car on a hot highway, leaned her butt on the nose of her car, looked out over one great flowing field stretching beyond her sight until the horizon came. Vastness, she says, responsive to the slightest shift of wind, full of infinite change, all one. She says when she can't pray, she calls up prairie grass.
At one point, we were marching along in silence, being really annoyed that we were soaked to the bone, and the wind was blowing, and it was really cold, and we came up upon a couple a little older than ourselves who were from the Midlands in England and were trying to remember the words to that hymn. We helped them out. If the path was, as Thoreau posited, sometimes mean, God knows it was also sublime. Over and over again, just as we started to spiral down into disappointment and self-doubt, not to speak of misery, we were saved by birdsong, or startled back to life by the beauty of wildflowers sparkling like sunlight on water interspersed in the fields among the waving wheat. Each year when we take our high school juniors to Boston on the pilgrimage, we stop at Walden Pond. We walk along the shore and back into the woods to the site of Thoreau's cabin. And we sit down in a circle inside the chains that mark that spot. And we ask, what would it mean for you to live deliberately? When you step outside the daily round of obligations, when you carve out time and space to be by yourself, when you allow yourself to rest for a time in the grace of the world, what do you discover matters most? And their answers every year are a tonic to my cynicism and a sign of hope. As young people who have grown up in your midst tell me what's most important to them. Woody Guthrie said, I want to be remembered as the one who told you something you already knew. And every year at Walden Pond, they do. I took 8 poems with me on the sabbatical. Some of you will recall I was asking about to find out what book to bring. And I did bring a very slim, very light volume of Conversations with Brother Lawrence that I got from Paul England and enjoyed very much and learned from. And I also brought 8 poems. One of them I learned by heart while we were walking. It's called City Limits, and it was written by an American poet named A.R. Ammons. It goes like this. When you consider the radiance, that it does not withhold itself but pours itself without selection into every nook and cranny not overhung or hidden, when you consider that birds' bones make no awful noise against the light, but lie low in the light as in a high testimony. When you consider the radiance, that it will look into the guiltiest swervings of the weaving heart and bear itself upon them without flinching into disguise or darkening. When you consider the abundance of such resource as illuminates the glow blue bodies and gold skeined wings of flies swarming the dumped guts of a natural slaughter or the coil of shit, and in no way winces from its storms of generosity. When you consider that air or vacuum, snow or shale, squid or wolf, rose or lichen, each is accepted into as much light as it will take, then the heart moves roomier. The person stands and looks about. The leaf does not increase itself above the grass. And the work of the deepest cells is of a tune with May bushes, and fear, lit by the breadth of such, calmly turns to praise. It's not an easy poem. But consider the radiance are the words I want carved into whatever memorial remains when I go. I need to turn my fear to praise. The way leads through humility, past gratitude to praise. Jan and I have no special right, no unique scale of service that warranted the privilege of this sabbatical. Good fortune, the historical context of the liberal ministry and its academic aspirations, yes. But the privilege of this time we've been away, time for reflection, time for nourishing ourselves, each other, and the essential relationships of our lives should be available to, if not required of, everyone. I'm deeply grateful to serve a tradition and an institution which recognizes that fact and enshrines it in its code of practice. So as we fire up the retro rockets to bring our speed up high enough to break us out of orbit, I do my best to breathe on past the fear. when my thoughts tumble forward, wrapping like tendrils around the fantastic shapes I can't possibly control, I try to remember how my soul, my deepest connections, have been strengthened these past few months, and to what purpose. And when I do manage to remember, my heart is humble, and I'm grateful and fear lit by the breath of such calmly turns to praise.
Friends and colleagues who know us well and the Camino were all very clear that we needed to walk beyond Santiago to the end of the known world, Finisterre, which entailed another 50 miles of walking, and they were right. Just like the cairns pointed to a different guiding principle in the path we walked, our pilgrimage ended when we reached the sea and through the rocks that we had carried from home, and blessed the sea with rocks from Minnesota, this holy land we call home. Our pilgrimage there reminded us what we know and forget so easily, that the sacred is there, always waiting, inviting us to notice that we are saved by the most ordinary of things. We walked one step at a time, walked toward a deeper truth, walked in the knowledge that we are all pilgrims, that life is a pilgrimage, leading us toward the challenges that face us as we grow older and confront our own mortality. Pilgrims on the Camino are fond of saying that the Camino takes you where you need to go. And after the sabbatical, I would say that life does the same thing, presents these cairns pointing us in different directions. And the question is, what is your true path? What is our true path? What is our place in the world? And what are the values which point you on your way and prevent us from straying too far away? Unitarian Universalist theologian James Luther Adams wrote a very important essay called The Five Smooth Stones of Liberal Religion, which of course you'll be hearing more about in the fall. And he talks about these stones that we can walk upon. So I think of them as stones and I think of them as cairns. What are those things that direct you? What are those essential values which call you home? Would anyone like to say? Thanks. I paid him.
Respect.
Family and love. Revelation is not sealed. Truth is always unfolding. It is there for us to see. And one of the reasons why there is a cairn in the aisle and not all here is the truth comes from you as well as it does from the chancel. So the cairns point to the truth.